You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Edgar Oliver. He's in New York City at the moment. Edgar, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Yeah, hi, Brainerd. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, it's lovely to hear your voice as well, Edgar. Since I interviewed you once before, and since then I went to your amazing one-man show. Of course, you read us poems the last time we talked, but then I saw your show, which was three different shows of your performances, and they were just... they were just extraordinary. I really, really, really love them.
Did you see all three of them?
I saw all three of them. Yeah, I brought my son to one of them and my wife to all three of them. But I saw all three of them, and they were just fascinating and very beautiful, very memorable. You know, even throughout this. This pandemic, as I'm home largely with my wife and, you know, an older son, college-bound son, I keep thinking of that line, which I may be misremembering, where you talked about your early situation and said, we were like three secrets from the world. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah. Okay, but
and that's such a lovely line, and it feels like that now, right? There was other lines I remembered and other scenes from those three pieces that I saw, but that reminds me now of the pandemic, you know, being alone, yeah. And you know, a family or a couple or a brother and sister and a mother.
We're all secrets from the world now.
Yes, we are. So while you are a secret from the world, or we always have been, what's been happening? I know you're working on a lot of things. After I saw that, I also went to buy whatever books I could find of yours, and I bought all these lovely, lovely little handmade books. Some are larger, some are smaller, about different collections of your poetry. The books I have are... there's a few. There's one called A Portrait of New York by a Wanderer There. One called The Brooklyn Public Library, one called Puddle Boy, and one called The Lost Bedroom.
Yeah, those books are all made by my friend Aaron Howard, who has a publishing company that makes handmade books. It's called Oil Can Press. I love all those books, yeah. He makes them all by hand.
I love them too. And so what's happening? Have you made more books since then? Or maybe I should just ask you first, what have you been working on in the last year in the pandemic? Because we're talking at the beginning of the new year, but the pandemic's been going on for almost a year now.
Yeah. I did another one-man stage show that was a year ago, October, it ended, I think, it ran for a month at Axis, you know, where I did those three shows that you saw.
Right.
And it ended right before Halloween. Uh-huh. That was really fun to do.
Tell me about that show. That was very different. Was that like a part four? Yeah, that was before the pandemic. Was that... did that relate to the other three? What was the difference in that one?
Well, it was another show about my life. It was about a dear friend of mine who named Victor, used to live in the rooming house right next to the old rooming house where I lived till about 10 years ago. And a few years before I left 10th Street, Victor became homeless. And he died about 2 years ago. Well, almost 3 years ago now. He was living in a... he was staying in his friend Ido's van down on Delancey Street, and he died while I was in Italy visiting Helen, my sister. He died in the van. I think he died of exposure. It was very cold then, you know. So it was a show about our friendship. It was called Victor.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear about him, and of course that happening, and that was of course quite different than the three previous ones, in that this was one show that was a solo show. It was similar to the other ones. You're standing on the stage and you're performing for, what was it, a little over an hour?
Yeah, it was a little over an hour, and. Beyond the stage, there was a major difference in that the music was live. There was a band on stage over on one side. My friend Paul Carbonara, who composed the music and played... guitar, and then two other musicians playing piano and and cello, I guess it was.
Huh.
Yeah, it was.
And that's very
unusual.
So you're working with musicians. They kind of dialogue with you. How does that work? Because that's interesting. You have to have musicians on stage.
Yeah, well, it became very much like a kind of dance, and I felt myself riding with the music. It was an amazing experience, you know.
Mm. And would you like to read to us? I'm dying to hear you read something. And so I know you're going to read a few things today. What's the first thing that you're going to read?
Oh, well, I guess I'll start with a poem. And it's something I wrote in the spring, around the time the lockdown started, when I pretty much stopped being able to go to Brooklyn, you know. I love to go to Brooklyn and wander around, but I stopped for a long time because I was scared to take the subway, you know. In the spring, every day, I would, instead of going to Brooklyn, I would walk down to sit by the East River in this little park down there. And my walk always led me past this place, this old hospital called Gouverneur Hospital. And so this is something I wrote about walking down to the river. It's called Gouverneur Hospital. But I have to put my glasses on.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Gouverneur Hospital, quiet as roses, the roses to the river. The roses lie beyond the hospital, but I think of the hospital as the first of the roses. There are windows open in the hospital, with curtains adrift behind the screens, adrift in the afternoon. And beyond the hospital, the river. My way to the river leads down Gouverneur Street, almost straight up to the front door of the hospital, Old Gouverneur Hospital, where it sits quiet as roses in the afternoon light. Sandy red roses, the color of brick, the color of stone. The hospital dreams. It draws me like a dream into which I am walking. But I don't go in the hospital. I don't think I'm allowed to go in that hospital. I don't know who can go in Gouverneur Hospital. Strange, derelict men. You can always see one or two of them struggling, staggering, limping down Gouverneur Street. At first I would think, he looks dangerous. But then I would think, ah, he's on his way to Gouverneur Hospital. A jet black man in ragged shoes with no shirt and some strange turban of rags on his head. A man limping on crutches in a beautiful gray suit he's been wearing for 60 years. Men like that. There are always one or two of them on their way to the hospital or standing by the door. I envy them somehow, their power to go in that door. At the hospital, I turn left onto Water Street and walk past the beautiful old housing development with its strange alleys of grass and lampposts where nobody goes. On past the roses blooming in spring, on my way to sit by the river. So that's Gouverneur Hospital.
Thank you, Edgar. And that's in the Lower East Side. Is that where that's taking place, or are we in Brooklyn?
That's the Lower East Side, yeah.
So it's a very beautiful poem, and I want to hear another one, but I feel like we should talk a little bit first. You know, that hospitals meant something, of course, very different in the pandemic and the beginning of the pandemic. But so does wandering. You are a wanderer. You walk around the city, and you know, and, or that's at least what I hear you writing about. But the city is a very different place to walk around now, isn't it? I mean, for someone like yourself who seems to spend a good deal of time walking around the city, it's a completely different place now, isn't it? Or no? How is it to walk around? I mean, that hospital is one example, but I would think that the city has a very different feeling now, doesn't it? There's no tourists there, for one. There's a different landscape almost.
Yeah, it is very different. I guess, for one thing, people are avoiding one another, you know. Which is, I mean, I try and give people a wide berth, just out of respect, you know. But it's true that Midtown and you know, is pretty empty of tourists, and I try to.
But the Midtown isn't so much where you walk; it's Brooklyn and the Lower East Side and those areas.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just. Trying to take the subway as little as possible, so I just don't go to Brooklyn as often as I used to, you know. But I walk across the bridges still, you know. And then if it's late at night, I take the subway back home. So.
And you're going
to
that. You drove what?
What did you say?
No, I missed what you said. And now I realize the last time I talked to you, you were in Italy. You were in Italy visiting your sister. That's right. And I'm thinking of how we were in very different places the last time we talked. I was just saying that. Yeah, that's part of the changing landscape of not just the neighborhood and but also the people. I mean, the Lower East Side. I would imagine the same thing. Very very quiet, right? And Brooklyn also very quiet.
Well, it depends. I mean, you know, if it's I like to wander around on gloomy, drizzly days. And often then it's very quiet, but on beautiful days, there's still lots of people out roaming around, you know. But everybody pretty much does, you know, wear a mask.
I'd love to hear another poem. I know you have, I think, one or two more, right? Would you be so kind to read another one? I'd love to hear another one.
Okay, yes. I'd love to read something else. Before I do, I think I should say, which I forgot to say, that new show, Victor, was, you know, directed by Randy Sherp, who directed the New York Trilogy, the three shows that you saw, you know, and I just wanted to say that Randy directed this new show, Victor, as well, and that I love working with her. So,
she did a fantastic job. That was just a wonderful, wonderful production.
Yeah. So I guess I thought I'd read something else about wandering,
okay.
So I guess it's, this is not a poem so much, it's just a short piece of writing, but it's about, a place that I haven't been able to go now in over a year that I miss very much, and it's the Brooklyn Public Library, you know.
Yes.
So it's, I guess it's called The Man in the Library. The Brooklyn Public Library is a home for lost souls. I wonder where they are now. I used to go there all the time, and I'm a lost soul. There's a man there in the library. I can't stop thinking of him. He would sit there in the lobby on one of those tall chairs beside the counter that runs all round the curve in the lobby wall. So you can sit there facing the wall, facing the beautiful old wood-grained curve of the wall. When I first saw him, I was sitting at the counter getting ready to eat my lunch. They let you eat there in the lobby. Then I saw him sitting there beside me. When I first saw him, I thought, there is a stillness to him. I couldn't see his face. I saw one of his hands. It was a beautiful hand, the hand of a black man, the hand of a beautiful man, I thought. And he had a stillness to him, as though he were a tree sitting there. His neck was strangely craned towards his left side, as though he were pressing his face up against a wall. And I thought, that's the bend in the trunk of a tree. I went to pee, and when I came back, I saw his face. He had a still, stoic, dreaming face, like the face of a tree, and a gray beard. I went and sat back down beside him. He didn't notice me. I unpacked my lunch as quietly as possible, and he began to move slowly. He had a duffel bag beside him on the floor. Slowly, he bent down, and with one beautiful tree hand, he fumbled open the duffel bag and drew out a metal bowl, and one by one, a metal knife, a metal fork, and a can of tuna, and a jar of mayonnaise, and a package of Sunbeam white bread, and a can opener, and he made himself a meal. And I, beside him, where he looked away, as he did not wish to look at others, ate my lunch and grew enchanted by him and his slow, silent, tree-like presence, yet distance. And then I left and went to Prospect Park. And after that, I began to see him almost every day in the library. And if I didn't see him, I missed him terribly, and I would think, well, he must be sitting in some other part of the library. One night, when the library closed, I was walking up Eastern Parkway on my route round the botanical gardens to get the train back home. I saw him there in the rain. He was dragging his duffel bag. He had it in an old grocery cart. The cart had only two wheels, so he was dragging the cart tilted up on just those two wheels in a most ingenious way, dragging it by a rope. He seemed very at home in the rain. As he was walking very slowly, I had no choice but to overtake him. I walked by him without looking at him, but when I got in front of the Brooklyn Museum, where there is a construction site by the entrance to the subway, I looked back. He had vanished into the shadows somehow. A few nights later, a weekend night, when the library closes early, I was seeking shelter in the McDonald's on Empire Boulevard by the Flatbush entrance to Prospect Park. That McDonald's is another refuge for lost souls. As I sat there, I thought of him, and I wrote this little poem. It's called Man in the Library. It's raining outside. I'm in the McDonald's. I wonder where that man is who sits in the library, who sits in the library like a tree. Where did he go in the rain? Did he go with his duffel bag up Eastern Parkway, round the curve in the road to the Brooklyn Museum? Is he there pressed up against a wall in the rain? Perhaps he went down into the subway and is down there somewhere. I wish he were still by the museum, pressed up against a wall in the rain, dreaming like a tree. I still wonder where he went during this whole pandemic thing. I wonder where he is now. And as I sit here writing this, I look up, and there is one of my mother's paintings hanging on the wall, one of the last paintings mother did before we all three left Savannah for good. It's one of my favorite of mother's paintings. It's an old wooden house with a gnarled tree rising beside it. All round rise tangles of what look like overgrown brambles. Beside the house is an old wooden wall. The house and the brambles rise up behind. There's a mysterious figure on the porch of the house, and in front of the wall is a man walking by. He's walking away. He's mysterious too, seen from the back, walking away. He's wearing an overcoat and carrying a satchel under one arm, and in his other hand, he's walking with a cane. And I think, gosh, he's that man in the library. He's that man. I've loved him in that painting all my life. He's in lots of mother's paintings, walking away. So that's man in the library.
Thank you, Edgar. that was a beautiful poem, and also I think spoke to some of what you were discussing about wandering and other things. So I would love you to read one more, and as much as I'd love to talk more, I'd love to hear one more poem if you'd like to read us one more, and then we'll chat for a little bit to finish up the interview.
Okay.
And just one thing in your there was one book, I think it was it the Lost Bedroom, where there was many reproductions of your mother's drawings and paintings. Is that correct?
Yes. There are lots of mother's drawings in that book, and some of mother's paintings too. Yeah, I love the fact that Aaron really loves my mother's paintings too, and believes in them deeply, and loves to publish them in the books that he does of my work, and I love that he does that. Mm. Yeah, I think mother was a great painter.
Mm. And what will you be reading next? What is this next and last poem?
I'll read something called Sitting by the River. I sat by the river today and looked across at Brooklyn. The light goes over, touching all the steeples and rooftops of Brooklyn. So beautiful. So beautiful, things in the distance, Brooklyn going away. A little squirrel sits at my feet, wanting a nut or bread, something to eat. He has tufts of white fur behind his ears and inquisitive eyes. I wish I could give him something. Near my bench, he finds a crumb of bread, which he sits and eats till it's gone into his white, furry belly. So that's Sitting by the River.
Thank you, Edgar. It's such a pleasure to talk again and to hear your poems. Before I ask you a little bit about maybe what you're reading or finish up the interview, is there something else you're working on that you want to discuss? I know I imagine you're still writing, but is there any other project or performance that you want to mention, if it's appropriate?
I guess. There are two things I'd like to mention. One of them is a project I'm working on with Aaron, you know, Aaron Howard from Oil Can Press. It's another book that we were working on together, working on putting together. Together, you know, Aaron and I, and it got sort of interrupted by the pandemic, and has been on hold. But I know that Aaron and I both want to get back to it, and hopefully soon, you know, we'll get back to it and have it out and available for to be ordered through Oil Can Press. And it's a collection of three of my plays.
And which plays are those? Are those the ones that I saw, or that's something else?
They're plays from a number of years ago, which were not monologues like the ones that you saw, but plays that I wrote for, you know, myself and other people to be in. And it's, so it's been years since any of those plays were staged. But I think they're fun to read. And the collection is going to be called The Ghost of Brooklyn. And it's, so it's a collection of three plays. One is called The Ghost of Brooklyn, and one is called Motel Blue 19. And I'm trying to remember what the other one is called.
That's okay.
It's one of their three plays, and it's a fun book. So that should be coming out sometime soon, you know.
Well, and he must be a wonderful person to work with, because all of these books are handmade. It looks like there's hand-painted kind of end sheets on the inside. The covers look like they're made with linoleum blocks, and they're handwritten covers as well, right? This is a very small press, and everything looks like it's made by hand.
Yeah, this book will actually not be handmade. It's going to be machine-made, it will be the first Oil Can Press book that will be like that. But Aaron's, you know, making it a real work of art, and it's going to have illustrations by my sister, Helen.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting. And the last question, Edgar, is what is that? I'd love to keep talking and hearing poems, but perhaps we'll talk again soon. I'm always curious what everyone's reading. Are you reading anything now that you want to share with me? A particular book or poems, or what are you reading?
Well, yes. And one last thing that's coming up is that I'm also working on a podcast with my friend Anthony Corona. And I don't know when that's going to be, but we're starting to record it. So hopefully that will be something that will be out sometime soon. And in terms of what I'm reading right now, I've fallen in love with the work of this writer, E. Annie Proulx. You know? Do you know her work? I just was reading
her. Annie Proulx, she's a novelist, right?
Yeah, I was reading different stories in a collection of short stories called Still Wild. It was short stories about the Wild West that was put together by Larry McMurtry, and I read this story, Brokeback Mountain, and then I went and got a book by Annie Proulx called The Shipping News, and I loved it so much, and then I read Postcards, and now I'm reading Accordion Crimes, and a collection of her short stories called Bad Dirt. I just love everything by her.
I like that. Well, Edgar, I wanna wish you a wonderful new year. We're talking, you know, just at the beginning of the new year, and I want to thank you so much for talking with me today and sharing your poetry, for reading today. Thank you so much.
Well, Goody, thank you so much for having me, you know, to talk with you and read to you and everyone. I've loved doing it. Thanks, Brainerd. And Happy New Year to you and to everyone.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.